Energy electric, rhyming so hectic. Content of the song, you can probably fucking guess it. It's just me talking shit over a funky ass beat. Metaphors full of bullshit, hit you like a stampede.
Welcome to the Lousy Wrestling Podcast, the shittiest wrestling podcast in America, only on the Lousy Weather Media Network. Now, here's the show.
No Rogaine in the propane flood.
Undertaker's coming back soon. Did you hear this? Did you read about this? Did you see this? Are we podcasting now?
I don't know.
It's the Lousy Wrestling Podcast. What episode is it?
I think 16, correct?
Lousy Wrestling Podcast episode 16. I'll take your word for it.
I can look at my piece of paper here because I got it written down each time.
Last week was Hell in a Cell.
So we already forget.
Lousy Wrestling Podcast episode 16. I'm Sean.
I'm Derek.
And Undertaker has been announced to come back. I'm not sure why he's coming back, but he's coming back, so I felt the mood to get American Badass up in this bitch.
The worst version of The Undertaker ever.
You think?
I hated the American and the rolling Undertaker. Yeah! And I'm set up and put out
this stage with my own two hands. It needed to be done, though.
Yeah, it was cool that they tried to switch his gimmick up a little bit, but
you got to make Undertaker different. I drank a Four Loko today, and I don't feel loco. I feel tired. I just want to go to sleep. Like, I figured Four Loko, that's going to make me loco, man.
And here you're like...
Yeah, I've never drank a Four Loko before. And Bobby informed me that I'm about 7 years too late on drinking a Four Loko. Because, like, 7 years ago, they were murdering people. And now they're not.
Yeah. I think they dropped the alcohol content on it.
They're 12%. I think they dropped the caffeine content.
The caffeine. I knew they dropped something on it.
They're 12% alcohol. I had, like, $2.50. I was like, what in this gas station is going to get me the drunkest on a Sunday? Because I couldn't buy wine or nothing like that. So I'm like, what's going to get me?
That's why you buy it on Saturday.
What's going to get me the drunkest right now on Sunday? And I was like, Four Loko.
Four Loko.
I got a French vanilla cappuccino.
Disgusting.
To make up for the caffeine, I guess.
To make up for the caffeine. Did you just dump it in your Four Loko?
Sat there and I made, and then I watched on from end to end Raw to SmackDown.
In 3 hours?
Basically, yeah. Raw and SmackDown in 3 hours. I went about it this week. I got Hulu, and it changed my life in one day.
Are we golf clapping for you? You actually got something?
I got Hulu so that I could keep up with Monday Night Raw and SmackDown without having to watch nefariously, because I couldn't keep watching 2 hour and 20 minute Raws with ads inserted, you know what I mean? Like dynamically inserted ads. I couldn't take it because I still spent 3 hours watching Raw. So to watch an hour and a half version on Hulu was incredible.
Well, at least you get the clip version of Raw.
It was incredible.
Because from what you showed me, I was like, that's not how I seen it.
It was incredible. Yeah, we were just talking about this because apparently, like, you were asking me if I saw Goldberg slip, and I was like, no, Goldberg looked great.
He looked great. No, he did not. He did not look great.
So what happened on the actual broadcast? Because on the Hulu broadcast, Rusev swings on him, and then he just clenches up with Rusev and puts him right in jackhammer stance.
Well, that's not how it went down. Down.
That's not how it went down on the live broadcast.
Yeah, now I got a foreign accent.
Rusev crush.
Yeah, that's not how it went down. He went to go get a little tie-up, you know, and he tried to, like, Muay Thai clinch him, and he falls backwards and takes a little spill, and looks like Rusev had to help him back up, and they had to do a second take of it, live television, and the moment I seen it, I was like, damn, Goldberg looks rusty, and then I started
scavenging. I thought the spear even looked good, too, on Hulu there.
Yeah, he didn't have two takes on the spear like he did on the tie-up.
I guess that's the magic of editing.
Yeah, when I seen it, your version, I was like, damn, you couldn't even tell. Like, they spliced it together perfect. And
you look great.
Yeah, and I was reading on Figure 4 and all that. They were like, yeah, they edited the version of Goldberg on YouTube that he didn't slip, and I kind of figured they would have done that for Hulu and anywhere else, even
I
on
think,
their own network.
I think this Goldberg,
talking about taking falls.
I think this Goldberg Brock Lesnar match is going to be a kind of a hard sell, man.
It's going to be a pooper.
Like, the crowd was really into Goldberg this week.
Because they were in Minneapolis.
Yeah. They were in Hartford this week. And, I'm watching Goldberg, and I'm like, man, it's going to be a hard sell.
Yeah, because you said, what, they're in Toronto?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It'll probably be a pretty split crowd, but if the match is shit, man, the crowd's going to sniff it out quick, and they're just going to boo everything.
And Vince will be in, the refs here, Pierce, like, kill the match quickly.
Yeah, they're just going to boo it all. So, but this week, I thought
two Raws again.
Yeah, so, to be honest with you, a lot of people consume it in the post. How do you say it? Like, production, I guess, the way I consumed it.
Yeah.
There's not, like, they only have how many people watching it live? And then, so there's a lot more people who are watching the YouTube clip of it.
I definitely know that their ratings were horrible this week. Yeah. Only like 2.3 mil or some shit
like that. It was a bad week for a wrestling period. They didn't put the Trick or Treat fight on the Hulu version.
They were like, this match sucked, period.
But they did have an awful battle royal.
It was
bad. So anyway, you want to talk a little bit about TNA and what's been going on there?
Sure. I seen some shit on it.
So yeah, this past week, the courts have basically said, Billy, you don't have any grounds right now to file for anything legally yet. You're kind of wasting our time, so figure it out yourselves. And the other company has stepped in, and Anthem Entertainment, I want to say, has stepped in, and they're still offering, like, Billy wants $2.7 million.
That's what there's, like, what, 36% interest?
Yeah,
that
he put up 1.8, but then he wants the, half plus double interest, or whatever the fuck
it
is.
Yeah, I seen they offered, 1.9 in court.
Yeah, they said, we'll give you 6% interest, which would be 1.9. And he still won't take it.
He's like $100,000 extra, not worth it.
And basically, the rumor...
Just take the tuna sandwich for fuck's sakes.
The rumor is they have to look in courts, Anthem and TNA, I'm saying, as if nothing's happening with TNA ownership, as if Dixie still owns 92% of it. Anthem's offering to pay the money. But what people are saying is behind the scenes is
it's already sold.
Yeah, Anthem has taken over the 92% and they're just gonna wait till this little court thing's over.
Yeah, I heard they got like 85% or some shit, and then Dixie Carter's only gonna own like 5%, and someone else in there has like 10% or something.
It seems like they just brought in like
they're like, we're going bankrupt. Who's stupid enough to come in and give us money? Billy Corrigan.
Yeah, since day one in TNA, they had an investor. That investor fell through. So Jeff Jarrett went out and found Dixie Carter, and Dixie Carter got her dad to invest. And then that's how... So they basically found a money mark to pay for the wrestling business.
Yeah.
Then it got to the point where Dixie had to go out and find her own money mark to pay for her wrestling business. You know what I mean? Like,
and they found Billy Corrigan.
Yeah, Daddy finally tapped out on the well and was like, no more. And then, so they went out and found Billy Corgan. And I can't believe, like, I thought Billy Corgan might have been ponying up like a couple hundred thousand. When I heard 1.8 million.
My jaw dropped. Legit.
What the fuck did they do that costed $1.8 million?
We did read that an episode for their whole block recording is like, what, 600,000? So what, he produced, what, 3 months worth of television or some shit, pretty much?
I could put on a fucking TV show with a couple hundred thousand dollars.
Dude, I can't even hire Charlie Sheen with $1.8 million.
Give me a couple $100,000.
We're talking about the Hardys here, dude.
If you gave me if you gave me $350,000, that's how many viewers they have. If you gave me a fucking dollar per viewer they had, I could turn out a better fucking television show than they fucking turned out.
Are you giving Jeff Hardy Quaaludes or anything like that for payment?
No.
I'm just wondering how your payment plans are going here. Because they got some fucked up payment plans.
Yeah, you
at TNA.
Don't need those people.
Like, when I seen that 1.8, that's what started racing through my mind. Like, who the fuck is worth
all
this money?
I was about to say, yeah, because they probably had to pay fucking Matt and Jeff a couple $100,000 each fucking appearance and shit.
Yeah, that's why I'm like going through my head when I seen that. I was like,
just being money marks spending for the little wrestling company. I don't need those people on my TV show. I'll fucking find a warehouse and put my own lights in it and pipe and drape in it and just own the warehouse for the first $100,000 and then fucking put the rest of the money, put fucking $6,000 into the ring, which they actually already have a ring. I don't even need to buy a ring. They already have all that stuff. I get the fuck out of Orlando, Florida, buy a little warehouse, set it up to fucking record TV in, and then...
And then you're losing money.
You own the building. You're not renting. You own the building. You own the lights. Yeah, you own the pipe and drape. You own the fucking thing.
But
you just
do
sit there.
You own the camera crew that's going to be
fucking
producing for you.
You just
recording
bring
it.
You buy five fucking cameras.
We can't do fucking cell phone feeds.
You buy five cameras. Buy five HD cameras. We're up to about $200,000 now.
Are we going for the ECW low grungy market?
No, I'm telling you. What did they spend? 1.6, 1.8 billion?
Billion? I'm like, goddamn, billion now? Fuck, dude.
What the fuck?
This guy's out of his mind.
What could they have spent $1.8 million on?
That's what I've been wondering.
Other than the contracts.
Like yeah, how are their contracts set out? Is that like they get paid weekly, mm-hmm. or is it all like a straight up boom, front up cash, or
so,
however?
So the Fight Network is who Anthem is, basically.
Yeah.
They're the ones who are they're a television company, and they're basically going to invest into TNA the way Spike did. It's the way it seems. And that might be TNA's best case of survival.
Maybe. Did you see about how it was Corrigan who wants to sell WWE, any of that stuff?
Yeah, he was teasing that he would sell his part to WWE.
Yeah, see, that's why, and I was reading, like, they don't want to be a silent partner or nothing like that. They want majority.
WWE is doing the smart thing now where they're just like, they don't want anything to do with any of it.
Oh,
and they don't even want to, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to be associated with this sale purchase.
Would you?
With all these lawsuits going on, no.
I'd be like, I'm better off getting a local
wrestlers,
from Akron, Ohio than this.
That's
shit.
What I'm saying. I could put on a better TV show. The wrestlers have been tweeting shit though too. Even like Mike Bennett was tweeting like about how it was like same day, same horrible bosses or some shit like that. Like.
I seen their head writer fucking left the company.
I just seen that today. Yeah, Dave Lagana.
Yeah.
Dave Lagana was a head writer of SmackDown from like 2006, 2008 or so.
Yeah, and he worked with like Paul Heyman and all that shit too. And he
Before that, he was like, he was a lower tier writer for a while and he worked his way up to head writer.
Yeah, and he thought he was going to get a big promotion with Corrigan. And
he was in and out of head writership with TNA a couple times between the different regimes of writers since he came in probably around, I want to say during the Bischoff Hogan era.
They did always hire the has-beens of the 90s and 80s.
And in 2000s.
In 2000. Well, TNA just hires the has-beens of the 2000s, if you look at it these days.
So, yeah, I saw that about Dave Lagana leaving. I don't know. I didn't even know he was still there.
I when I seen it, I was like, damn, lawsuit, people leaving.
I thought John Gaborik or whoever that guy was is the guy that is doing the writing for them.
The only reason why I read it, because I seen that they said something about Corrigan. He was supposed to be his right-hand man and some shit. And once this lawsuit with Corrigan and all that, he pretty much was like, fuck this. I ain't going to get my promotion later.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I seen.
I
Well, that's how I took the information.
I wish them the best. I hope they stay open, but they are, like, I mean, can you think about what they were in 2007 to what they are today?
Put it this way. I'm just glad.
They went from being the number two promotion in the country, being watched by over a million people every week, to being what they are now.
It turned into WCW of the 90s before Bischoff took over, is how I've been looking at it.
WCW of the 90s, when WCW went off air, they still were hitting fucking just under 3 million viewers.
Yeah. But you get the gist of what I'm saying, though. Like, they were dying, and when you even watch the WCW shit, it talks about how they were only having, going from arena shows to 5, 6, maybe a couple thousand in the crowd at a time, saying that's how I feel the direction TNA is going.
They were booking places with 10,000 seats and putting 2,000 or 3,000 people in it for pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I just listened to all that on Death of WCW by Brian Alvarez.
And
yeah.
I think that's the way TNA's kind of been going since we stopped watching it back when it was actually fucking good. And,
2009. But even then, it wasn't that good because Vince Russo ruined it. Like, I remember watching it then being like, the wrestling's so good, and if they didn't have these stupid fucking weird-ass angles in crash car production style,
yeah,
this shit would be pretty good.
Yeah, that was always our knock on it.
They did some good stuff.
Yeah, you can't say all their stories.
And then
shit.
When you go back and listen to people talk about those stories, you find out the things that were good, the things that we all enjoyed, were stuff that were booked by Dutch Mantel or Jim Cornette. Everything Vince Russo fucking touched, turned to shit. Guy's awful.
Yeah.
Did I tell you last week about his Rocky Mountain Pro?
No, you didn't.
Okay,
you had too many vodka and
Sunny D or whatever.
Vodka and the D.
Yeah, I don't have any vodka today. I just drank that Four Loko earlier, but I'm off that buzz a little bit now. I'm just a little sluggish.
Yeah, you're rolling the back of the head, falling asleep.
Yeah, I was wasted last week. I remember I listened to like the first 5 minutes of it. It was really funny. But I couldn't listen to any more of it.
You're like, that's enough hearing myself
But
drunk.
Anyway, so Vince Russo got behind this, like, he lives out in Colorado.
Yeah.
And he got behind this, like, local Colorado independent promotion called Rocky Mountain Pro or something like that. Rocky Mountain Wrestling. And it was pretty funny because he was going on podcasts and like talking, trying to hype it up. And he went on the Conan podcast the one time and they kept on saying Smoky Mountain Wrestling to fuck with him. Yeah, how much Jim Cornette and Vince Russo hate each other.
Yeah.
So every time he'd be like Rocky Mountain Wrestling, they'd be like, tell us about the first episode of Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
That's hilarious.
But anyway, so he had this promotion called Rocky Mountain Wrestling, and they were going to be on this channel called The Hunt Channel.
The Hunt?
Yeah, Hunt Channel. It's a channel dedicated to hunting. Okay. It's apparently only on Dish Network, I want to say. It's like only on one of the Dish companies, or DirecTV.
So it means it must suck really bad.
Yeah, only one. Pretty limited.
If only one provider is carrying it, it's not the greatest.
Apparently he's been hyping this up, Rocky Mountain Wrestling coming to the Hunt Channel.
So who wrestled? Lance Storm? Hulk Hogan?
They turned in their first show to the Hunt Channel, and the Hunt Channel said, this is so bad, we're not going to put it on our television. And they turned it back. So now,
you know you suck when the hunting channel turns you down.
As of right now, they're in limbo on whether or not they're going to even produce television for this television channel anymore.
Dude,
the television channel might be backing out of their contract already.
Dude, just think about it. You're going to a fucking hunting channel to begin with.
And they looked at it.
Who the fuck is going to watch wrestling on a hunting channel?
And they looked at this Vince Russo fucking independent promotion, because I'm sure that's what it looked like. Is Vince Russo booking an awful independent promotion? You know what I mean? Like, it'd be like
killing local stars.
Yeah, it's like the independent wrestlers. The thing about independent wrestling is a lot of them aren't supposed to be on TV. You know what I mean? Like,
they're not ready.
They're exactly. So, You put all this fucking bullshit together with Vince Russo booking. Apparently there was like lesbian stuff and all kinds of crazy stuff going on in the first episode, and they were just like, we're not putting this on air.
See, it sounds so chaotic that you want to watch, just find where this is.
He's still writing Jerry Springer TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what his wrestling is. Jerry Springer, too hot for TV.
And Hunt Network was like, no.
We don't want Springer.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty funny story.
That's funny.
So, Undertaker is announced for what, the week before Survivor Series?
November 15th.
That's
what, their
SmackDown 900, Live.
And, 900th episode or some shit like that?
SmackDown Live in Wilkes-Barre. Is it Wilkes-Barre or Wilkes-Barre?
Wilkes-Barre, I believe.
Wilkes-Barre.
That's what we'll go with.
Pennsylvania.
If we're wrong, fuck it. Oh, well.
It's the 900th episode of SmackDown.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Now, the thing was, this was leaked by the arena. Like, the arena posted, like, Undertaker will be here. And then, like, 3 hours later, WWE posted a press release. Like, yeah, Undertaker's coming back.
Yeah, they're like, what the fuck? This arena just dicked us?
The same thing happened with the other match you were telling me about. Yeah, the roadblock?
The roadblock, yeah.
Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns thing?
Yeah.
So it's twice now an arena has leaked something.
Yeah, before the company. And that's weird because, like, when I was reading on Figure 4, I even kind of agreed with the article. Like, they don't really announce matches down the road. So now we already know Kevin Owens and Reigns are going to have some sort of angle coming up. Because you know how wrestling is. They always have to have their angle.
So he's coming. This is the episode before Survivor Series.
Yeah.
On SmackDown.
Is he on Team SmackDown as the fifth member? But I thought they already announced five.
I think that would just be weird to throw him in a match. I think you're shooting for something for WrestleMania.
I would wait till like Royal Rumble for that or something. Or Survivor Series.
I think you're having them come out and then you're having Randy and Bray and
do something with
all
them.
Them come out and beat him up, yeah, or something.
They're with him.
You build
like
for
he's their main guy.
He's gonna come back corporate ministry Undertaker.
Yeah.
And lead them. So what about that?
That would be hilarious.
Randy Orton with his eyes flickering.
You like the look.
Oh, gosh.
You're like horrible.
That was so bad. So, what other news happened this week? Anything else you wanted to touch on?
Cruiserweights.
The Cruiserweight. Live 205 Live, or whatever it's going to be called.
I didn't see
This is kind of a weird name because it's pigeonholing it, because you would think a show called 205 Live is going to be live. But I don't think it's going to be live.
You don't think?
No, I'm pretty sure they're...
Why would they call it 205 Live? Just why not call it Cruiserweight?
205 Live premieres on November 29th. What date's November 29th? That's a Tuesday at 10 p.m.? So, okay. So are they going to be doing Talking Smack, or are they getting rid of Talking Smack?
They'll probably still have Talking Smack, and it'll just be like
they're not
NXT.
They won't do Talking Smack till 11? This is good. Okay, so it says it's debuting Tuesday, November 29th at 10 p.m. So that means they are going to do it live on the network. SmackDown will go from 8 to 10, and then you'll do 205 Live from 10 to 11.
And they'd probably be, and if that's how they're doing it, so they're obviously rolling around with SmackDown.
Well, you just move.
That'd be the smart thing to do.
That means you're moving your cruiserweights. You have cruiserweights working on NXT. You have cruiserweights working on Raw, and then they're flying to meet with the other crew for SmackDown. Like, they're not even staying with the Raw crew for Tuesday night anymore.
Yeah. I just think that's kind of shitty. Yeah, that would be the smart way to do it,
shitty.
Don't you think?
Why wouldn't you just film the show over when you're doing Raw? Raw's already a three-hour show, and they're already filming Superstars.
Maybe it's actually filmed. We don't know yet.
So 205 Live is the show.
So obviously it's going to be live. They did throw live.
But at least when they're on the East Coast.
All right.
Every other time it'll probably be tape delayed.
All right. That's presentable enough. I mean, expect, especially
because when they're in California, they would be recording. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what time is it here?
It's like 4 hour difference. I believe. I'm pretty sure it's a 4 hour difference.
So 205 live. I just think of that in a booking standpoint. That's kind of shitty for travel booking. I guess, who am I to fucking assess WWE's travel booking? But you got these guys working on fucking Monday night, and the Monday night crew is, what, normally a day off Tuesday, or they might be doing a live event Tuesday, not sure.
I think they have a house shows on Tuesdays.
So instead of going to do that, they're traveling out their way to meet up with the other crew for Tuesday night.
Unless SmackDown and Raw are normally close, the same location.
I feel like it would have been smarter to send the guys to Florida for fucking once a month to record four episodes of a fucking TV show.
They already do that with NXT, though, right?
Exactly. In the same place, tag it up with the NXT tapings, do NXT one night, because they do like what, four NXTs or something.
I believe so.
They'll do one NXT on Monday, do 205 live on Tuesday.
Well, they couldn't call it live then.
And so just send the guys to Florida on Tuesday. You know what I mean? Once a month.
I just don't understand why give them their own TV show. Why don't just incorporate them more on their own television, because especially on the 3 hour shows.
They put out a lot of surveys this year, and one of the things that really was a hit about the network was the Cruiserweight Classic, an added wrestling program in the Cruiserweight perspective. And they surveyed, like, if we put an hour-long Cruiserweight show on the network, would you watch it? Basically, on all the surveys.
I would watch it.
And it got, high ratings, high reviews. So
I've been waiting for them to get more time on Raw.
This is their reply to that.
Yeah, because I mean, even on NXT,
they're gonna get their own show. But what are they gonna do on Raw? Are they gonna phase them out of Raw, or is the
that just be stupid then? Because why would Raw even say the home of the Cruiserweights and then just start this? You know what I'm saying? That's
it's weird.
It's
but then are you gonna have television angles about the belt happening on both shows? Like
it's,
you know,
their
what I'm
superstars,
saying?
Yeah, that's why I was wondering, because it kind of conflicts, like, when I started thinking about that, or is this going to be just for upcoming Cruiserweights,
or will
not
this
on
be,
the shows?
Or will Raw be for the upcoming Cruiserweights and the 205? Like, it's weird.
We'll have to see what goes on when it happens, I guess.
Yeah, hopefully this is a way for them just phase the Cruiserweights off of Raw and make Raw a two-hour show.
You could still make. You just want Raw to be a 2 hour show, period. Mm-hmm. But if, like I said, with a 3 hour show they're doing now, why not give the Cruiserweights more time? And why are they always in tag team or 6-man tag matches every
fucking
time?
How many Cruiserweights do they have signed a contract to?
Probably only the same six we keep seeing, maybe seven. I know Tony Nese is wrestling at another company for a title, I think.
That's funny. Yeah, they all are working other things.
Yeah, so they're not actually 100% under WWE contract, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I look at it. Unless they're just working out their prior commitments, you know, then I understand that, like they were doing with your guy.
Who's my guy?
Johnny Gargano. And I
when he was working with
Evolve. Yeah, and I haven't seen him in a while either.
They have a working relationship with Evolve.
Yeah.
That's kind of now. Evolve is their
training grounds.
Yeah, I was about to say their minor league for NXT's main roster.
Their farm team. Yeah, yeah, that's smart.
Because they have the performance center guys that they bring in, the old athletes and people like that that are going to work their way through, and then they can bring people out of Evolve, because they'd rather take somebody from Evolve and working for Gabe than somebody that's wrapped up in television contracts with ROH, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot easier for them to work with.
So you want to take a break? Are you going to vote Tuesday before we take a break here?
Yeah,
at
the Reservoir.
No, it was Dan Collier was over here, and he was like, "I'm going to vote for Trump," and I was like, "You're retarded."
Is he inbred too?
No, he's not inbred. No, a little bit, I would say. Yeah, maybe.
Like I said, if you're retarded, inbred, or redneck, you'll vote for Trump.
He took me and called me retarded very lightly. I love Dan Collier. Good guy.
Now recording Chris Clem's Cavs Cast number 50. Chris Clem.
Basketball is my favorite sport. Talk about the way they dribble up and down the court. Just like I'm the king of the podcast field. LeBron and the Cavs are the king of the world. I like slam dunks, trash talking in the booth. The podcast is funny and it is the truth. Download it now with Aussie Weather Media. Cause it's Chris Clem's Cavs Cast available now.
Chris Clem's Cavs Cast, now a part of Lousy Weather Media. Find it at lousyweathermedia.com or chrisclem.net/podcast. Chris Clem's Cavs Cast, it's fantastic.
Despite all my rage, I still didn't hear you.
I said sometime I watch this shit and I just shake my head at times going, why did I even agree to this, watching some SmackDown and Raw.
Yeah, I feel that way almost every time watching Raw.
At first, Raw was really good, and then since the split, what happened? And SmackDown became the better show.
This is what I've heard. This is a thing that's been being talked about. Is Vince McMahon got hurt like 2 months ago, right?
Yeah, he tore his...
And then apparently he wasn't backstage, and we were getting some pretty good, solid programming with no loophole, holes and stuff like that. And then over the past like 2-3 weeks, he's been back to work every day. And now we've been seeing these random last minute changes because apparently things have been coming in. And then right before it's supposed to happen, like day of show, he's changing his mind on things.
Because shit's getting leaked out.
So apparently he's constantly changing things and it's making stuff almost literally chaotic in the back. And him and Triple H have been feuding over it and have been getting in like literal fights backstage because of it.
Vince, you're old. Retire. It's my show.
I saw it on Wrestle Talk TV this week. They were talking about this. So
I could see it. I mean, it's his company and it's going to go his way, or you see what happens. People get fired.
Yeah, he's basically seeing things and wanting them. Like, I guess the Charlotte and Sasha thing was supposed to be like a last minute thing. Was like last minute he said, we're going to...
For Hell in a Cell?
Hell in a Cell, we're going to change the title and we're going to hotshot Charlotte and Bayley into an angle. Like, apparently that was just last minute, right before the show started. They were like, okay, that's what's happening with it. That's why you're on last now.
And that's why she calls out Bayley on Raw.
Exactly. So, let's get into Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. We already talked about Goldberg. He hit a terrible jackhammer and hit a terrible spear, and we all went, woo.
I didn't go, woo. I said, he looks really rusty, especially with his little Russo slips. Mm. You can tell he hasn't performed or worked. Yeah. So, like we talked earlier, this match might not be too kind-hearted.
We'll see. They'll smoke and mirrors it. Like they did, what's his name? Sting in Triple H at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Smoke and mirrors.
Poop.
So,
that's what I call it.
What was after Goldberg in it?
After that, you had your favorite tag team.
Who's that?
The match they skipped.
Yeah, I was about to say, I probably didn't see
the Trick or Street fight.
The Trick or Street fight. Yeah, yes. I didn't see Trick or Street fight. That did anybody get smashed on pumpkins this year?
No, not really. And,
very corny. Anybody get a trick?
Very corny. Big Cass came out as Woody. Enzo came out as Buzz Lightyear, hitting on their little comment from the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And then all I wrote was, could have done without this dumbass gimmick match. So, it sucked.
Yeah, and that's why I wasn't on Hulu.
I mean...
What came after that?
I mean, then after that was TJ Perkins and Brian Kendrick.
I did see this.
And, yeah, I'm very excited to see how this angle keeps playing out.
Yeah, this one, better angles on the TV show.
Oh, yeah. It definitely has the, build up for it. Really, it got it going really good, especially with how it ended with Kendrick going to slide in and then slid right back out like, oh, nope, 10 count. Sorry. Yeah. We'll see how that goes. Hopefully they don't, kill their whole match, you know what I'm saying? They just give them like a 7-minute match.
They have their own show coming up soon.
Yeah, maybe that could be the main event.
Those two are going to have to carry that shit.
Oh. They got some good cruiserweights. They just don't they just don't give them the TV time they deserve.
Well, now they're going to have their own show there.
And we'll see how that goes.
They get themselves over.
Yeah.
What was after that?
The thing about that match, though, I don't know if you remember, was TJ Perkins coming from the top rope to the Hurricanrana over the fucking ropes. You see how he landed on his fucking neck?
Yes.
Looks fucking brutal, dude.
Yeah, didn't he clip the ropes on his way down?
Yeah, it looked. Yeah. I was like, death, maybe, ending career. Like, it was fucking brutal looking. I was like, damn.
They're really trying to pull things out. You know what I mean?
That was a ballsy ass move. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how much you remember of the match, but that was a
no. I was about to say, this is when I was yelling at Dan about Trump.
Oh, all right. Yeah. So you,
Jimmy,
missed this.
Jimmy was here, and me and Jimmy were yelling at Dan about Trump. I was watching it though.
Yeah, it looked very devastating.
What came after that?
After that was Mick Foley. He
did
the Survivor Series.
I watched all this.
Hell in a Cell. Nothing special.
He brought out Kevin Owens. And
he didn't bring him out.
They just
came out on their own while he was talking about the match, and pretty much they came out.
Man,
and was like
he's Mick Foley started cutting a good promo about how, like, you know, I wanted you to have the great triumphant moment. I wanted you to be the hero. He's like, do you want twirling the keys to be in the video package? And then, like,
dude, he had me dying because
Jericho was like, he put his arms out. I was like, twirl the keys, man, or whatever the fuck he was doing. It was,
dude, that shit
ridiculous.
Was hilarious. You know, dude, I cannot wait for Kevin Owens Chris Jericho angle.
Yeah,
like, dude, that is going to be fucking, that they're, might be
they're getting there
the thing.
Well, even they're about to turn on both babyface, putting them against fucking Roman Reigns. Doesn't Roman Reigns come out in this fucking segment here?
Oh, yeah, they did.
And he gets booed the fuck out of the building. And they're in Hartford, Connecticut. It's not like they're in a loud
crowd. Yeah, dude, he fucking caught Jericho and Kevin Owens, SpongeBob and Patrick. Fucking the crowd died. And then that's when Jericho was like, no one's being on the fucking list tonight. And the crowd straight up was like, boo, like, you got to put people on the list.
Yeah.
Dude, it's just hilarious.
It's part of the show
now.
Dude,
he's just trying to, like, because it's so fucking over, they're trying to downplay the list, but they can't because everyone's like into it, dude. It's hilarious.
He's still carrying it around, huh?
Oh, dude, I told you, dude. Jericho's probably the best thing they have on TV besides the Foley little promo he cut.
Foley's been getting his swagger back on his promos.
On his talking, yeah.
For a little while, he was a little stale.
I'm saying the Hell in the Cell thing is got him back in his groove, because he got a good one the week before, and this week, dude, I was like, yeah, fully.
Well, yeah, ever since Stephanie fucking emasculated him, in that one promo, remember that?
Yeah,
were you watching that?
Yeah,
wasn't that a couple pay per views back or
two or definitely two.
Well, what the hell was there one pay per view before?
Backlash?
No Mercy. No, Backlash was SmackDown one. It was after Backlash.
Let me see here.
What the fuck was it called? Night of Champions, Clash of Champions.
Clash of Champions?
So it was at Clash of Champions. It was the one.
I think it was
the Raw after Clash of Champions.
All right,
because he tried to come at her like, you did that crazy stuff with, you know, Triple H after the show. You betrayed us. And then she was like, I wouldn't have had to been doing it if you weren't out there playing doctor.
Yeah, cut.
Just completely tore him down.
Yeah, I like Stephanie as the boss.
Since then,
she's good on the mic too.
Yeah, I think I'm a little tired of Stephanie.
Well, she's been on television for how long now?
Yeah.
Like, you can take her off and just put her here and there.
She made like a big return in like 2011 or so and has just been on TV since then.
Nonstop, yeah. Pretty much she's like the figurehead and shit like that.
So anyway, what was after the Mick Foley segment
after
there?
After Mick Foley,
moving right along.
Was the Battle Royal that you hated so much.
Okay, yeah. I didn't really even understand what the point of this was for a minute until that I realized they were just trying to get a spot in the Survivor Series match.
And it was funny because they said Braun Strowman was the fifth member of Team Raw, and they've only have three members on Team Raw. So how was it their fifth fucking member, dude? I was dying like... What the fuck?
Yeah, I felt like it was kind of a poor constructed battle royal. They were all
in the
ring. Dude, the
moment I seen Braun Strowman, I was like, he's winning.
They were all in the ring, and then all of a sudden, there was 10 guys on the floor, and only Braun and Sammy in the ring.
Yeah. And
that was the match. And then Sammy got bumped a couple times and thrown out.
And I think that was a match inside of a match, too.
So what was next after the Battle Royal?
After that, they went backstage, and it was hilarious with the New Day. I don't know if it clipped it out for you on Hulu.
Yeah,
where
I don't
they
remember
were,
anything with the New Day.
They all came out as different versions of
okay, yeah,
the guy
it
who
wasn't
played the Godfather.
It wasn't on Hulu, but I did see this on YouTube.
Dude, yeah, that shit
where they were, you know, the one guy was Papa Shango, the one guy was Kama Mustafa, and the other guy was...
the Godfather.
Godfather,
dude,
yeah.
That shit had me dying, just because I wasn't expecting it, and it was Halloween and shit like that. I was like,
yeah,
oh,
they were just stressed
out
for Halloween. Yeah. They were having a lot of fun in this episode. Corey Graves had the suit of the night, where
the pumpkin suit. Yeah,
it was just a suit with 100 little pumpkins on it.
Yeah, some of the faces on it was sick as fuck.
Byron was just dressed as a baby or something. It was weird.
Dumb. And Michael Cole was just dressed like he normally
was. I thought he was Michael Cole, yeah.
Yeah, he said he was the chairman. Motherfucker dresses the same way.
So, what did we have after that?
The six-man tag cruiserweight match that I was like, what the fuck? I even wrote down tired.
I want to say this match was cut, too. I don't remember seeing this.
I want to see angles with these guys besides just TJ Perkins and fucking
Kendrick,
you know.
Well, I guess that's what 205 Live is for,
dude. Yeah, but still, how long has the Cruiserweights been on Raw?
So what 205 Live is going to be for?
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's been close. It's been two and a half months.
Like, I feel like the WWE are wasting these guys' talents. Like,
that's why they're launching a TV show.
That's what
man.
I wrote down, dude.
This is going to be the problem with 205 Live is only the people who watch the network, the NXT people, are going to see it. You know what I mean? And then when they try to translate the angles to Raw, the Raw crowd's not going to know what happened on 205 Live, the majority of them.
That's what I don't understand. Like,
so,
what the fuck is going
on? They're
going
to run into a lot of problems with the booking here.
Like, that's the main thing that I'm thinking. Like, what the fuck? Like, these guys are very talented. Like, everyone's good that they had in this match, and they killed it. Like,
it was a quick match for no reason.
Yeah, another quick, short match that was probably lasted.
Well, that's the thing about
minutes,
the 2-hour program. Maybe. It doesn't need to be there. That's why on the Hulu version, it's not there.
Yeah, it just pissed me off. So I just want to move on from that. And okay. It was Charlotte who came out next and had a little celebration.
And they carried her out again on the thing. That's going to be a reoccurring thing, I guess.
I think so. Mm-hmm. She's queen, so they might just have their.
So what, did Bayley come out? I'm trying to remember.
Pretty
how
much
this
Charlotte
went.
Called out everyone on Team SmackDown first, you know, for the women's team. And then she called out Bayley next because she and Mick Foley thinks that she's the weakest link on Team Raw. So she all comes out then.
And then she was like, you thought you're going to wrestle Dana Brooke, but you're
and
not
Nia
wrestling
Jack
Dana.
Comes out.
You're wrestling
and
Nia
I was
Jax.
Like, I feel bad for anyone on Team SmackDown.
And then they just beat up Bayley in a minute. Nia Jax won and joined the women's team.
It straight up looked... Nia Jax was already on the team.
I thought that's how she got on the team.
No. She was already on the team. She was like, you're wrestling... Charlotte was like, you're wrestling your teammate. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, you think it's Dana Brooks? No, it's... And then that's when Nia Jax...
Basically, if you couldn't tell by now, both these shows are just going to be the teams forming. Like that's that's the only storyline going on both shows.
Our team
for Survivor Series.
Yeah, it kind of killed some of the main angles going on going in the Survivor Series like this. It's killed a lot of main storylines going in these stupid ass fucking teams.
Because even the people who are
because they're building for Survivor Series,
they're having matches against each other and then being like, well, you better know your role in 2 weeks when we team together. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a bunch of multiple teams of heels and faces. Like,
are you talking about? It's like team role is like consisted of Jericho, Owens, Reigns, and fucking, I'm pretty sure Seth Rollins is going to be on that team. And Braun Strowman, like what you got going there?
With the women,
even the
specifically,
women.
Like if you look at the SmackDown show, we'll get there. But like, so Carmella and Alexa had the match with Nikki and Becky
Lynch, but they're already
beat them up, and then they're like, "You better know your role in 2 weeks when we team together."
Yeah, because they're teams.
Exactly. Team. So I don't understand it. That's what I mean. It's just a bunch of hodgepodge.
This is definitely not a traditional Survivor Series because when you go back and look,
where's Money Incorporated?
It was not just that. It was strictly babyface first heels.
Usually, yeah.
Now we got a hodgepodge of the only good talent they have put together to make this shit.
So what came after Nia Jax and Bayley?
After that was Cesaro and Sheamus versus the Shining Stars. Boring. Yeah, nothing special.
Move on.
Skip. I don't even know why they're a team. Done.
The Shiny Stars or the other ones?
Just the Cesaro.
They're
going to
get
like,
Cesaro and Sheamus the title run.
Dude, the match was pointless. I don't even know why it's on the
show.
They
got a title run in their future.
And then after that was the main event, Jericho versus Roman Reigns for the U.S. title. I don't know how much you watched of it.
Yeah, I watched all this match.
I thought it was a really good match.
Jericho Roman Reigns was pretty good, especially the sequences
match of the night
at the end there
for them.
And then Seth Rollins came running in at the end, and then built to a big moment with the crowd with Seth Rollins and Roman standing in the ring together, and then they killed it by just playing Roman's music, like the crowd standing in the ring going. I mean, they're standing in the ring. Roman and Seth Rollins are standing in the ring together, and the crowd's just shield, just freaking out.
And then Roman.
And then Roman's music just plays, and that was it.
Dude, the fucking Kevin Owens pop-up codebreaker was brutal looking, dude. I haven't seen him do that shit. That's sweet little setup they have right there for the codebreaker, dude.
Those two are gonna work on. They're probably traveling together.
Who, Kevin and Jericho?
Yeah, they're working hard together.
Oh, for sure.
But so, what do you think about Raw this week? You're
better
silent.
Than SmackDown.
So,
I can tell you.
I thought SmackDown was still the better show.
No,
we'll
not
get
at
there.
All.
But Hulu, if you are not a Hulu user, trust me, Hulu will change your Monday Night Raw life. That was such a more, even with the ads in there, like I have the cheap version, so it has the little ads. It still has it. Like everywhere there'd be a commercial break on TV. There's like,
but they cut them
the
shitty
like
shit
two,
they
three
don't
ads.
Need.
Yeah, they definitely they cut out 40
Hulu,
minutes of
Hulu's
this fucking
like,
program.
We don't want that match. We don't want that match.
There's no replays. Like, there's no. Here's what happened earlier. None of that shit.
Yeah, it cuts out a lot of it.
So you cut down 40 minutes of, and you just, and I didn't feel like I missed anything. I would have loved to see the Papa Shango fucking thing.
Yeah, that.
But I saw that on YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, you can see that shit on YouTube.
On WWE's YouTube, because they put the entire fucking Raw. They put all the moments that happen in YouTube form, too. Yeah. You know what I mean? No way. So you don't even need to watch the shit on USA Network. That's why the ratings are the way they are. It's not. Like, it's not that WWE's bad, and maybe it's not even that it's being less consumed. It's just that fucking people don't consume TV. Even NFL's ratings are way down this year.
Oh, for sure.
But they're streaming like
are high.
Yeah, and NFL game day streaming and the Twitter streams and all that shit are high as fuck. But their ratings, television ratings, are way down this year because people don't consume television that way anymore.
Yeah. they like to do it and quit.
They just don't.
Quit. They like to do everything shortened.
Well, people have cut the cord, so to speak, with cable. Cable bills are $220 a month. Well, I can get internet for $60 and get Hulu for $10.
Yeah.
Or five. It's $5.99 for a year. Yeah. $5.99 a month. But, yeah, so I can get internet for $60 and get Hulu for $5.99, add a Netflix bill for $10.99, add WWE Network for $10. I'm still nowhere fucking near $212 for cable.
You're closer to a $100 bill compared to a $200
bill, yeah. Exactly, for cable. So
we're paying like $220.
People have cut the cord from cable, even with Roku and just YouTube, yep. And there's no reason.
I have everything.
I've had Xbox, basically. That's all I've had.
Yeah.
And I've gone off and on Netflix accounts and so forth.
Yeah. There's only some things that they don't have on
but
certain
I
things.
Haven't. I've never had cable other than. I've never had cable.
It's really.
Well,
not.
I mean, other than like my parents haven't.
Yeah.
But I haven't lived with them in a while. And then even.
Sometimes people like to watch it live when it happens. Mm-hmm. You know how they like their watch parties and shit like that. And that's why
they'll
always have their
cable
and shit like that.
Yeah.
But I could cut down and just watch it the next day or 20
There's even ways
minutes.
To get around that shit, you know too, though, saying? Because like, you can buy UFC pay-per-views on UFC.com. You know, you know what I mean? You can buy other things. You don't even need to have the cable box to buy the pay-per-views
anymore.
Oh, not
at all. You can stream it.
So people are just cutting the cord. So let's get to SmackDown.
Sounds good.
Opening with AJ Styles was great.
It actually opened with James Ellsworth.
Okay. What did James Ellsworth do?
He came out and thanked Shane and Daniel because they allowed him to come out to say goodbye. And it's just keep the whole AJ Ambrose angle going and how he wanted to call out Dean Ambrose and
felt like the
tell
crowd,
him he was sorry.
I felt like the crowd wasn't...
they were very much into it, Sean.
You thought they were?
I was like, they do not want the guy to go. Because when he was like, I want to say their goodbyes, everyone was like, no, no, no. And I was like, this guy will have a contract.
I just didn't
just
feel like they were
jobber.
As strong as before.
It wasn't as strong, but it still got a huge reaction. It hasn't been like previous weeks.
But the thing I wanted to point out was when AJ comes out and everybody's chanting AJ Styles and he's like, I know my name.
Dude, that had me dying.
And everybody was just like, boo.
The only way he can get a boo.
AJ Styles has been phenomenal.
That's his name, right?
No pun intended. just incredible.
Dude, the shit that got me is he was straight up like, Ellsworth, you owe me, fuck Dean Ambrose, like, I want part of your t-shirt sales, like, I'm the reason why
he wants
popular.
A percentage.
Yeah, dude, I was like, hell no, dude, AJ's fucking killing it tonight on the mic.
They were doing fun stuff through the night with Ellsworth, like, because Ellsworth is banned from ringside. Tell me how that kind of came about. I didn't
it went backstage
really
right
pay
at
attention.
It was funny because it started off with a little segment and then it came back from commercial at another fucking segment backstage with Ambrose and Daniel Bryan. They're talking and whatnot, and then Ellsworth come in and Daniel Bryan tells Ambrose, he's like, you only have one fucking chance left to become number one contender. If you lose, no more chances, you're done.
I remember all that.
And then he was like, Ellsworth, you're not allowed at the ring at all, like nowhere.
I must have missed him say that.
Yeah, he was like, you're not allowed at ringside whatsoever. Not allowed. And he gave his little, I can't say he gives a frown, like, he don't really
just
have a...
Just his weird look he does, where he's like, mur, mur, mur. You just imagine a tuba behind him.
Yeah, and then that's how it went, and it went into Randy Orton versus Kane in a no DQ match for the first match of the night.
Which had the Wyatts all up involved in it and shit.
Yeah, and I think they're building like an angle between Luke Harper and Randy Orton.
This whole thing was weird because
the
crowd was booing the Wyatts, but still cheering for Orton.
Yeah,
you know, even though he's doing heel things and Wyatt things, I don't know. All of it's just booked bad. This is.
Vince Russo writing.
Well, Titus O'Neil and Darren Young gave us the worst angle of the year. Remember,
we kept saying worst angle of the decade? This is by far worse.
Yeah, SmackDown was like, you know what?
We can top you, Raw. We can
fucking top you with bigger stars.
We can use our biggest top stars to give you a shit show. Give you
the worst fucking angle. Dude's eyes were glowing, all this supernatural shit. It's,
dude, I told you, wow, Bray Wyatt is...
Last
you got to tell okay, me we, I've been right. Bray Wyatt is the new fucking Undertaker. Just say
months,
it.
For 2 months, okay, they...
Just say it, Sean. Bray okay, Wyatt is the new Undertaker. That's
exactly what they're doing.
I've been calling
him.
He's the Undertaker with Ultimate. He's not the new
Undertaker. That's what they're trying to make him into.
He is the new Undertaker.
He can't be. He's not good enough.
He's definitely not good enough, but he's their supernatural character.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know what you mean. But we already got this angle for 2 months. We all gave it our...
Still, what does Kane have to do with all this?
Showed up last week in the middle of it is all that fucking happened. That's all that happened with Kane. He just showed up last week in the middle of it. And now he's in the angle.
Now he's in an angle getting his ass kicked by the Whites.
We watched it up to fucking No Mercy. That's where it was... Should have ended. Like, they did all the backstage stuff. Remember when he was going through locker rooms and stuff in Cleveland? And we got the fucking No Mercy match. And that should have been it. That should have been the end.
I think that's when it even kicked in and was
like... It even headlined the pay-per-view because it was the debate night and they had John Cena go on first.
Yeah.
So it even went last and headlined the pay-per-view.
It was a pooper, if I recall.
Yeah. And... They continued it. Like, they were just like, let's make this more dumb.
Let's kill the universe.
Like, it was like SmackDown was a great wrestling show, and then it had that kind of bad supernatural angle happening, but we forgave it because it's good stars. But now it's like, damn, this angle's been going on for like fucking 3 months, and it's awful, and it's only getting fucking worse. And now I'm like, why did they even put the Wyatts and Orton on SmackDown?
Why is...
Like, we got this good wrestling show, and then all of a sudden we got this fucking supernatural eyes glowing Bray Wyatt, your god segments and shit.
Something The Undertaker would do. This is Vince McMahon in the back going, we need our Undertaker.
I mean, that's why Undertaker's SmackDown. Coming Bray back, Bray Wyatt. Who knows?
Bray Wyatt.
I saw a kayfabe news article that said, Randy Orton commits suicide after realizing he himself has become a legend. He's the legend killer.
Yeah, that's hilarious. But I'm
splash. What happened next on SmackDown after your favorite Ellsworth stuff?
Your favorite match was after that. Nikki Bella and Becky Lynch versus Alexa Bliss and Carmella.
I did love all this.
I thought Becky Lynch botched a DDT.
Did they show more intros on television? So on Hulu, it just started with pretty much all of them in the ring except for Becky Lynch.
The only one that came out, it was coming when it came back on. Nikki Bella was in the process of coming down the ring.
So it's the same thing they showed on Hulu.
Yeah, all I wrote down for this was Becky Lynch reverse DDT looked horribly done. I believed it was to Nikki Bella, and it looked so slow and like
I didn't really care about the match. Really, it is
boring.
I liked the promo afterwards,
boring.
Though.
Boring.
I liked the promo afterwards. That's I liked how they told the new announcer. They were like, "There's the new announcer." I can't remember what her name was, and then Alexa just looked at her and said, "Who? Bye."
took the money. Yeah. They became their own.
And then Carmella, I thought, cut a killer promo. She's
getting better.
She was cutting the promo, and then she even called out Charlotte, and the crowd ate it up. They all started, they were like clapping for her, and she called out Charlotte.
She's getting better on the mic. I give her that. Wrestling has increased, I told you.
Yeah, I didn't care about the match was simple and done in 2 minutes, but the promo afterwards really sold what they were trying to do, even though they were feeding bullshit too, because it was something I was just bitching about before, how she's like, you know, and Nikki Bella better fucking know her role in our tag team, because of course they got to put all these heels and faces together because they don't have enough people to make these Survivor Series matches,
traditional Survivor Series
matches. If they would have been like roster on, or if they would have been in brand matches, they probably could have pulled it off.
but
not maybe not with the women, but no, to
definitely
do,
not. Who are they getting with? They only have what?
But
eight
to do
women?
A, to do heel and face.
Oh, they
tag
could
teams
they could
against,
do a 4-on-4
and against heel and face women. But or bring up some NXT fucking chicks and shit like that.
And then I think right after that, they did backstage with Natalya and named
and
her
Natalya
team coach.
Wanted to be a coach. I thought Natalya was fucking kind of really funny backstage too.
Yeah,
and she like
I think they're trying to change her whole.
They did a little flirt thing with Shane, and he was like, oh, whatever, just let it ride, right?
Yep, I left. And then after that was what. Shane and Daniel.
Shane,
yeah, Shane and Daniel named. That's when they named Naomi the fifth.
Okay, yeah, right? Yeah, they came back
their
from
segment.
They came back for a commercial and they had Naomi there. I thought this was dumb. Same I didn't thing. Really. What did I don't even remember what Naomi said. Whatever she said, she looked kind of awkward on camera. It wasn't like she was just kind of like, oh yeah, hey, really cool, and thanks guys.
Yeah.
My kinda. Shoes are going to light up over here.
I got the glow for you.
So, that was that.
And then after that was American Alpha versus the Spirit Squad, and I was like, what the fuck?
Okay, yeah,
what?
This was another two-minute match.
The Spirit Squad's going to do a job.
Like we
and
said...
And then, boom,
3 minutes. Like we said already before, all of this was just a setup for...
Pretty much.
They're just
Survivor
setting up teams. Yeah,
hopefully,
so it was a
hopefully
lot of,
this week
a lot
it
of
will
two-minute
be
matches and dumb shit.
Hopefully this week it gets better.
Well, no, because Tuesday night's the election. Ain't nobody watching SmackDown. They're going to put up... It's going to be a lot... It's going to be nothing happening. They're not going to advance anything this Tuesday.
They're going to be like, guys, replay last week.
Yeah, the election's happening, dude. There's nobody watching.
Invade Raw. Do something to make SmackDown.
The ratings for SmackDown will probably be pretty fucking awful.
This will be their all-time
low. I mean, it'll
low.
Be 8 o'clock. Yeah, it's going to be like right when everybody's trying to tune in to find out what happened. You know what I mean?
And try to get pretty much the good summary of knowing we don't have a retard as a president.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
So, yeah, so American Alpha made really quick work of them.
Dude, I got up, went to the bathroom, came back, and was like, the match is already over?
I kind of
like,
did
what
the same
fuck?
Thing. I got up, came to the kitchen, and went back, and the match was over.
I was like, what happened? And I rewound, and I was like, what, 2 minutes back, and the match was over? I was like, damn, they're not giving any people time. Well, that's when I started looking at the clock after the Nikki Bella and Becky Lynch match. I was like, damn, that's two matches that were only like 3 or 4 minutes long. And then when I seen American Alpha, when I got up to go to the bathroom, I was like, holy shit, that's like the third match in a row.
Yeah.
That's like fucking 3 minutes long.
So, What happened after that match?
Miz TV was after that, and
so
that was
did
it, like,
well. Did American Alpha get a spot in the?
Yeah, that was a qualifying
thing.
Match. Was
they
to,
basically put four tag teams in the qualifier this week, but only one on Raw, right? New Day's the only one that qualified on Raw.
Raw didn't do no qualifying.
I thought they had. I
it's
think
the
they
new,
nominated New Day regardless.
It's the New
though.
Day, which is all three members, I believe, and two other. What? How many other teams do they need? I think they're just going to have, like, random teams for the New Day. Unless one's going to
be
out.
Two more teams.
Unless,
or no, one more team.
Unless fucking they're going to be outside. Because it's supposed to be a 10-man. Yeah, so it'd be one more team probably for them. Who would be with them?
Oh, well.
Who cares?
So
that's a role.
Miz TV. They brought out Daniel Bryan.
Which was the best part besides the main event.
Daniel Bryan was very, very over.
The whole promo, Miz cut and everything.
I liked when he was like, and how about I just cancel Miz TV? And everybody's like, yes, yes.
And Miz got really so funny. Pissed off. And he was pissed when he wasn't named part of the SmackDown Live. Mm-hmm. And that's when he told Daniel, like, talking about wrestling and shit and pissed him off some. And he threw the fucking chair.
Yeah, I thought
I'm hoping they're building for a match for them at WrestleMania. That would be fucking sick.
That's the stuff that keeps me interested and involved in SmackDown more than Raw.
Yeah.
I like that.
You like The Miz, just admit it, so you can tell
like
Chris
The Miz.
You was wrong.
I like The Miz, I was wrong, and that aspect of television is more entertaining than Raw has been, anything on Raw.
Yeah.
Maybe it just is a statement of how bad wrestling is today that The Miz is the best thing. But I mean, The Miz and AJ Styles too. Like that's another reason why I watch Raw. AJ Styles is the best thing on TV. He's better than anything happening on Raw. Like Kevin Owens and the
list. I'm sorry to tell you, the list is bigger than AJ Styles.
The Kevin Owens and the list are fun to watch, but I would rather watch AJ Styles than them, I guess, to say.
Because he wrestles.
Yeah. So what happened after that?
Pretty much Daniel Bryan named the team Raw, if you really want to talk about then, who team Raw is.
Well, and then... didn't Dolph Ziggler come out?
Yeah, Dolph Ziggler wrestled Kurt Hawkins, and the match
Hold up. So he comes out, and he's like, we're going to give you... He tells Miz, you're not even getting a title shot. Giving Dolph Ziggler an open challenge for the first
competitor. That was after the match.
That's how the match started. It's going to be an open challenge.
Oh, Miz, for that.
Get a title shot.
Yeah, and then after that, he does an open challenge.
So if it's an open challenge, why can't Miz just enter the open challenge?
No, after the match, he just gave anyone on Raw an open challenge.
Yeah, he said that.
Yeah, that was after the match.
I'm talking about before with Kurt Hawkins.
Because they're trying to play up that the Miz is soft.
Okay, so...
And he don't like to... he's not a fighting champion.
So yeah, Kurt Hawkins made his wrestling debut.
He did a 10-second job.
And it was a 10-second job, yep. welcome back, Kurt Hawkins.
Welcome back.
Here's for a super kick.
Yeah, that's funny.
Go back to AIW, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, what the
your
fuck?
Gimmick sucks.
What's the point of bringing him back for that? And then, yeah, it's almost like maybe they gave him a super kick. They're going to kill the gimmick and bring him back in 2 months to something different.
That would be awesome.
They're just like, yeah, this gimmick was dumb. Let's just kill it and bring it back.
He'll be on SmackDown.
You're not Chuck Norris.
Yeah. It'll be on fucking Raw or SmackDown.
There's no fist in your beard.
Yeah. Horrible.
When you donate blood, you ask for a needle and not a shotgun and a barrel.
Yeah. Like,
you dick. Yeah. You're not Chuck Norris. Anyway, so that whole phenomenal segment...
phenomenal.
And then he laid out the challenge for anyone on Raw.
Correct. And then after that, we went
into... is that going to be a match at Survivor Series? Anyone on Raw against Dolph Ziggler? So.
And that would be hilarious if Team Raw takes that belt. You know they're not. That's pretty much a given. Oh, we can't give up a belt. We automatically know Dolph Ziggler.
Well, and then Roman's in the Survivor Series match, so it's not like he can put out an open challenge to anybody on SmackDown for his belt and we change them both.
Yeah.
It's not like that can't happen, but it could down the road, or put them both on Raw, and then one end up back on SmackDown, so on and so forth.
I just thought it was stupid that Dolph Ziggler was like, anyone on Team Raw, the belt, and I was instantly like, you're winning that match, great for ruining the Survivor Series match.
Yeah, it's like, why don't you just defend it against your own brand?
Yeah, why don't The Miz step up?
Yeah, why doesn't your own brand just get a shot?
Unless The Miz does something with the contract and goes to Team Raw and does something like that. Now, that would be sweet if they did something like that to incorporate.
He's still in contract negotiations, isn't he?
Yeah, hopefully.
So what was next after that? Did we get our main event yet?
No. I wrote the fifth straight match that lasted less than 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, the headbangers. I forgot. We came back and the headbangers were in the ring. I fast-forwarded this match, can't lie.
I blank and it was over.
Yeah, I fast-forwarded 1 minute and it was over.
And then it was the main event after that.
Okay, so this was a great fucking match.
Really good match, but it wasn't good enough to save the whole show.
And the crowd ate it up, too.
They definitely ate it up when Ellsworth came down.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that. So this was one of those things in wrestling that was like... not supposed to be funny, but is actually really funny.
It turned into funny.
And that's the best kind of funny in wrestling. So he came down, and he's on the outside, and he almost cost Dean Ambrose the match, because Dean Ambrose gets distracted. And then security comes down, and they start chasing Ellsworth, and he goes running, and they pan away. And they go back maybe two and a half minutes later, and here comes Ellsworth still running from security.
Running through the crowd.
Hops over the barricade. And I was just like, dude, if security's that bad, we would all be running to just like any motherfucker that ran and hopped in a ring or anything would never be caught.
Yeah, exactly. Especially someone like him. He could barely make it over the barricade.
Holy shit, they chased that fucking dude forever. And then after the match was even better because then they dragged him by his arms. And I don't think he was supposed to be smiling. I think dude, he just couldn't keep himself from fucking just smiling. So then the commentators tried to like play it like, look at him. He's smiling. Like they're doing the old school Vince McMahon call. Yeah. He's smiling. You know what I mean? So it was.
Dude, AJ gave him a solid shoulder tackle going over the fucking table. You see that shit, dude? I was like, damn. Dude.
Yeah, AJ dude hit took him.
A massive bump.
AJ was like about to go for the, what do they call it? The phenomenal elbow.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he dropped down off the apron and just fucking rocked Ellsworth. And Ellsworth went flow.
Dude, he. Yeah, and that's when they drag his ass out.
And then he got back up, went for the phenomenal elbow. Dean Ambrose countered it, hit him with End of Days, and that was the... Is that the name of his finish, End of Days? The double arm DDT?
The Dirty Deeds.
Dirty Deeds, yeah.
The End of Days is Baron Corbin.
Yeah. Hit him with the Dirty Deeds, and which is double arm DDT.
I noticed they cut a promo for him during the segment.
With Baron Corbin?
That they probably cut out for you, which I would too. It just was him like... talking. It was black and white, him riding around on his Harley in a suburban neighborhood. I was like, what the where are they giving a guy a promo who's already
I feel like I remember it, but I don't really at the same time. A vignette.
Yeah, I did not.
I feel like I remember it, but I don't at the same time.
Did not enjoy it.
But so that was the end of that match, and then they dragged him out. And then when they got all the way up to the ramp, they like stood him up, and he was still just smiling
cheek to cheek.
I just said smiling his eyes out, smiling his cheeks off. I don't fucking
yeah, know. You can't. And he then, don't have a chin.
Yeah, and Dean Ambrose gave him the little tap, and then security continued to drag him by his arms,
and he was still smiling.
Them dragging him like, oh my god, dude! He ran away for 5 minutes. Like I could just imagine the old timey like
I hear like, Mario music. Sound yeah. in my music head. Bloop,
bloop, bloop, bloop. Yeah. Bloop. Just jumped over the railing. And he hits a little fireball. And then, so yeah, and then, yeah, then they drag him out by his arms.
Game over.
SmackDown was all right.
It was fucking horrible.
We skipped over the fucking. When did the Your God segment happen? I forget. That was towards the end, wasn't it?
That
Randy Orton, Your God, and his
no, that was his, right between
he had the firelight.
No, that was between the Nikki Bella Shane backstage, I think. Or might have been after that.
You mean Natalya and Shane backstage?
Yeah, it might have been right after that.
Yeah, it was
that,
like some weird ass
right
shit.
Right before The Miz, I think.
Or his eyes are lighting on fire.
Dude, it looked like candle, like...
yeah, just like reflecting in his eyes.
Yeah. Show is horrible, I'm not gonna lie. It's the worst they've ever done, dude. Horrible. Like I said, the only thing that was worth watching that... Dude, mm-hmm. we could only talked about The Miz and fucking AJ Styles, and no one would have missed a fucking thing. You know what I'm saying?
That's the truth.
Like...
Yeah, me and you made a fucking solid commitment when we decided we were going to watch these shows every week. I'm glad I got Hulu. If you need my Hulu account one night so you can watch them too, just let me know.
I just let them DVR and then I fast forward everything I don't want to watch. And then I'll listen to what like some commentators
almost
have to say.
I am excited about Hulu too. I might be able to try and keep up with NXT a little more too with having this account. Yeah. But
NXT is an hour. It's easy.
Yeah. If I
don't really talk about.
Well, I'm knocking
it
off because exactly because like, I never watch it. I'm knocking off 45. Oh, so, that was another thing. Let's talk about Austin Aries' eye real quick before we do match of the week.
We already did talk about his eye last week.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
His eye's fucked up.
Yeah, I told you his Austin Aries injury.
Yeah, we did talk about it last week. I remember.
You want to go bring it? See, that's how drunk he was. You almost was blackout drunk crying on my things for fucking office.
I was wasted last week. And then when you left, it was like, 3:30 in the morning? I still had like enough to make like one more drink left, and I went ahead and made it and chugged it. And I was just fucking wasted.
You're like, I can't sleep. The room's spinning.
I went to bed.
Woke up drunk.
Woke up like 5 hours later and just laid there on the couch with my eyes closed for 2 hours until I went to work.
Did you just go,
No. By the time I went to work, I was like, I just woke up, took a shower, and I was alive. But I needed that 2 hours of just decompression, staring at the back of the couch. Yeah, like I didn't even have anything on the TV. I was just sitting there in silence, just staring at the couch. That was a hard Monday.
That was a hard Monday
to survive. So I got the match of the week this week.
Oh, so you finally did remember one.
Yeah, I got a match of the week.
You said you didn't remember what it was, so hopefully.
Well, I just came up with one. How about this?
It better not be a pooper.
No, we're going to go all the way back to Royal Rumble 2000, January 2000, Madison Square Garden.
Okay.
The debut of Taz.
The debut of Taz.
I watched it this week, and it was pretty funny because there's a bunch of things I never noticed because I haven't watched it probably since almost 2000. And, you know, so there's a lot of nostalgia just in my head and stories and rumor and innuendo over time of way people have remembered it and history has remembered it. So it was fun to watch it. And it's funny because as he's starting to come out, like Howard Finkel goes like, from the Red Hook, and just stops. And then, like, as Taz starts to get all the way to the ring and the crowd's still going, then fucking he's like, from Red Hook, there's a section of Brooklyn, New York, wherever.
He's like, this is Taz.
Yeah, he almost introduced him way too early. Like, it was almost like somebody was in his ear going, no, wait.
Stop! Vince McMahon scolding him. You're fucking up, Howard. Your job's on the line tonight, buddy. It's the debut of Taz.
Kurt Angle was very, very new still, too. But this, you could tell by the way Kurt Angle...
He was still a better wrestler than half the fucking...
Exactly.
The
you could tell by the way he sold for Taz and the way he took the suplexes and shit that Kurt Angle was going to be a fucking superstar in that match. Like, it almost made Kurt Angle... And I, like, now history has shown that, like... Taz,
he actually had hair for that match, too, as I remember.
He had hair, too. And Taz feels like he got buried in that match. Like, on commentary, they were burying him. And when I watched it back, man, it seemed like Taz, even Jerry Lawler was just freaking out, like, oh, my God, what do you call that suplex? Oh, God, he just devastatingly killed him. It was like Jerry Lawler is even just freaking out and popping so huge for every suplex where 3 years earlier, Jerry Lawler was calling him the Lucky Charms box.
He's like, who's this guy? I mean? This
so,
little
like,
midget.
Watching it back, I thought they just put over Taz like $1 million. He threw a bunch of great suplexes at Kurt Angle.
That's when Taz was still good, in shape Taz.
He chokes him out, and this is what Taz says. It's like, then after the match, they start going, well, was that choke illegal? Was that an illegal choke? Talking about the Taz mission. And he feels like that buried him by making his move illegal.
Yeah, his move was sick.
The Taz mission for calling it a choke
the
and
Taja
doing
Haja Main or whatever.
The Taja Haja Main.
Is that what he called it?
Yeah, the Taz mission. Taja Haja Main.
That shit was fucking brutal. So,
yeah, it was. It's fun. It's only like 4 or 5 minute match, and it's on the WWE's YouTube channel.
It could have easily been on SmackDown this week.
It's on the WWE's YouTube channel.
That's fitting
really
for
cool to watch.
A SmackDown review right afterwards. A 4 minute match.
So, and then just put two SmackDown legends like Kurt Angle and Taz in a ring.
You might as well. They're already doing that with.
But they even carry. They carry fucking. Kurt Angle out on a stretcher after the match.
Yeah, I remember
that. They couldn't do anything better to put Taz over like $1 million.
Dude, that he was in his prime then, too. I mean, he was, like I was saying earlier, he's in fucking good-ass shape. Fucking
he got plagued with a couple injuries following that, and that's kind of... After about the second time he got injured, they were like, all right, you're broadcasting now.
Yeah, that killed his career.
And, well, now he hosts a fucking CBS radio show every day. I think it's internet only. I think he only does radio sometimes.
Yeah, because I know he left TNA months ago.
Years ago. A couple years ago now. He started a podcast and that for a while. And then CBS, he was doing the podcast for CBS. And then they have their own radio app called radio.com or something like that. And so they started a daily fucking radio show with Taz. It's on at like...
He's good commentating, guys.
It's on at like 9 a.m., 9 to 11, or 8 to 10, one of the two. every morning, Monday, for they podcast it. So I'm subscribed to it. So I check some. A lot of times I'll check out like first 5 minutes, like
because he does like sports and all that.
He will talk fantasy football and stuff like that. Yeah, now it's football season. There's a lot of football and stuff on there.
Yeah, they killed his career.
I've been really getting into the. It's called Something to Wrestle With, Bruce Pritchard.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense, it's not Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. It's just Something to Wrestle With Bruce Pritchard.
I get you.
It's Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, and they'll pick a topic every week. They actually have fans vote on it, so they'll do.
So that changes it up randomly for them.
Yeah, and then they'll.
See, if we had viewers, we could do that.
Conrad basically comes at Bruce Pritchard about what he remembers about everything. You know, they've done the steroid trial, WrestleMania 7, WWF and ECW's relationship in 96. The most recent episodes were TNA Wrestling, so they did Bruce Pritchard's time with TNA, you know, because he wrote there for a little while.
Yeah, I've been like
horrible. Lita, Edge, and Matt Hardy's Love Triangle was an episode. And it'll be like 2-hour episodes, and like sometimes Bruce will be like, I don't really remember. And fucking Conrad will be like, can you just answer the fucking question? And so like, they do this little argument shit. But a lot of these episodes, they did the Montreal Screwjob and shit. Like, you can find them all on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
They're all fucking. It's and I never really liked Bruce Pritchard either, but
now you're in love with him.
I'm liking this podcast.
It's like Jim Cornette; he grows on you.
Yeah, I like it because they did Survivor Series 1990, so it was really cool for them to just sit down, run down the card and everything Bruce remembered from then, and that's the debut of the Undertaker and the Gobbledygooker and. His stories about the Gobbledygooker were fucking great on this week's podcast.
Hector Guerrero.
Yeah, bring it in. He was like, because they asked him, you know, what was up with the egg? What was it supposed to be? And he says it was always going to be the Gobbledygooker. Vince saw the, like, Kansas City chicken or whatever the fuck mascot and just wanted, or the Kentucky mascot, or the Louisville Cardinal, all those things. Wanted his own one for WWF, or it could be a mascot that would come out and take pictures during intermission with the kids and do acrobatic flips in the ring and stuff.
So they hired Eddie Guerrero's brother, who was probably, what, Hector. 40, 50 at the time?
Hector. Yeah, probably in his 30s, Hector. Yeah. It was 1990.
He just seems
wasn't his TNA age, no. Hector Guerrero when he was
or WCW
when he
age.
Was behind LAX. When they fired Conan and then put Hector Guerrero as member of LAX. That's great booking right there in TNA.
That was horrible.
Alright, you ready to get out of here today?
Sounds good.
And Enziguri, and we're motherfucking out. This was a week in wrestling that was awful.
Very awful.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.